1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you here in about 7 minutes or so. Our guy Jay Binkley going to join us. You know he's got some thoughts.
Yeah. All things football.
You know he's got some thoughts on the Chiefs. Also, what's going on in the NFL. Plus, there's a national title game tonight. Ohio State and Notre Dame. We haven't spent much time on that for obvious reasons. The Chiefs are headed to their seventh straight AFC title game, but we'll squeeze that in with thing. I know, no big deal. Arrowhead Invitational.
It is kind of
part
like
part six.
But you have to admit, you become a little numb to it. Sure. It doesn't feel like just getting to this game doesn't feel as big as it did at some point in your life.
No,
the first time they made an AFC championship game in your life, Golden, Joe Montana's leading the way. And I guess you probably weren't. You don't remember.
For me,
one.
It was Mahomes.
Fine.
For me, fine. I was way too young to remember. I mean, I was what? I would have been, was that 93? Is that right? 93 was when it happened or 95?
Yeah. Not 90.
What would that have been?
Later than those. Wait, no. Maybe that year. No, I can't remember.
I would have been like anywhere from 3 to 5 years old. So, no. Of course, you're right that there's a different feeling heading into these games than there were 5, 6 years ago.
I was getting the years confused.
But
93, you were right.
Oh, it was 93. Okay. I was two. Okay. I was 2 years old. So
you don't remember
I don't. But
Drew was negative like seven or
that's
something.
That's true. But I think there's definitely also a... Because of the 2 week gap, once you get to a Super Bowl and all the attention that your franchise gets, there is definitely that like get to the Super Bowl and then like there's for a fan base at least at some point it's like all right well you're going for a three-peat but you also made it to the biggest game on earth again and everything that comes with that and the new shirts you can go and buy. By the way, we're going to be at Rally House this Friday in Oak Park. More details
later. Official, but I assume so. Yeah,
yeah, we'll be there pretty soon. Who knows? By Sunday at midnight, you might be able to buy a new Super Bowl shirt, baby.
AFC champion. Here comes the Super Bowl. Shirt. Two teams on it. It certainly is probably heading. I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's at least a 50-50 shot at worst. And a huge reason why I think they won this game and why I've got even more confidence in them now than I did before, and especially against that Buffalo game. And I think later in the week, we'll talk about the specific guys are missing and what they add, is because once again, this team does not need elite level offense to win a football game. Yesterday was a prime example of that. They were not elite on offense. Were they pretty good? Yeah. Was Travis Kelce elite? Hell yeah. Did Patrick Mahomes make some ludicrous runs or throws like in every playoff game? Sure did. But they were not like moving the ball with no trouble, zero holding things. No. The Chiefs defense, though, had 8 sacks. They held Nico Collins, who I think is one of the better receivers in the NFL, down completely. The only offensive player who even sniffed some success in that game for the Texans was Joe Mixon. And that might have just been because they conceded it. Fine, Joe Mixon, you want to go for 80 yards? Go nuts. We're not getting beat deep. They did have two long, I thought, third downs where it was like second and seemed like a million to go, and they let up first downs on both of those drives that were concerning. Outside of that, I thought the defense played a-minus game. A game. And when they play like that defensively, I feel like they're going to win 90% of the time.
I don't have the numbers, but how often do you get sacked 8 times and win a football game? You know what I mean? Like you get sacked 8 times, you're not supposed to win that game. And there weren't the adjustments. I thought there was a clear coaching difference between. I think D'Amico Ryans is going to be a good coach in this league for a while. But I think you could tell the game plan and the in-game adjustments. You know, you have a tight end on George Karloftis throughout the game. Not the every snap, but throughout the game. And he gets 3 sacks. Like, you think that matchup is going to work throughout the entire game? And that's a mismatch, clearly.
I can't believe they never adjusted. Chris Jones dominated that game, too.
And on the offensive side, of course, Travis Kelce was wide open. But we're talking about defense right here. And I just, the 4th and 10 that you guys both brought up, Drew and you, Cody, it's not even so much the decision. It's that you needed to make a decision. Instead, you waited until the play clock went down so much that by the time Stroud got to the line of scrimmage, he had no time to look over the defense and evaluate the coverage. And it set him back right away. Those are decisions you can't hesitate on in the postseason.
I do kind of expect, and I think it was pointed out over on the text line, the legendary lawyer points out that like they kind of expect a Leo Chenal, you know, like, shadow of Josh Allen.
Absolutely. Because I think it has to happen.
I actually don't think that's crazy, because that's the way they beat you, in which their offense is unstoppable. And the Bills' offense is not unstoppable, to be clear. They were a very good offense all year. They were, I'm assuming, a top 3 points per game offense in the NFL this season. Maybe not. Offense efficiency-wise, there's a lot more good offenses left in the NFL this year than good defenses left. All the defenses' efficiency ratings were about league average, except for Philadelphia, who was top 10 in both, essentially, at least on this end. Buffalo scored the 2nd most points per game in the NFL. They're not unstoppable, but they are hard to stop if Josh Allen's legs are making it third and three, fourth and two, third and two. You know, like anytime they start getting into second and fours, second and fives, they're just guaranteed to get a new set of downs. And so like this whole thing, and defenses know this, is can you keep Josh Allen from ruining your day on first down? And the Chiefs have had difficulty in third and long, and I'm not pretending that that's not the case. But I do think that like at some point, that will be the way that they have to attack this. But the defense is playing better than it was in the middle of the year, Gold. This is more in line with how the defense did it in the first of these two, or the first, or even, hell, the first one, Gold, in the first Patrick Mahomes era, where the defense was kind of bad for like 8 weeks and then caught better. This defense was good for 6 weeks, bad for a while, and then really good again and now playing their best.
All right, let's welcome in our guy, Jay Binkley. You know, in the past, he said things like this.
You like my tractor, baby.
Well, he's joining us right now. Bink, what's going on, my man?
What's going on, fellas? How are we doing today? You ready for the Arrowhead Invitational?
Definitely. Yeah, we were just saying how, you know, it's definitely not the same feeling maybe as the first go around. We've been spoiled. But this week, it really, you know, when you're going for a three-peat, knowing that they're two wins away now, and now the stakes are higher than ever.
Sure.
Divisional round, it's not the same feeling. There's definitely going to be more stress this week. There's definitely going to be, I think, more and more fans nervous as we get through the week.
You know what, Alex? I was like you. I was watching those games and all those penalties. I mean, man, I'm telling you what, those officials really wanted the Buffalo Bills to win.
That's right.
And I'm watching that. It was just up and down. And then the ratings come out today. The Chiefs had the highest ratings ever on ESPN. Four of the top five programs in the country involved the Kansas City Chiefs. People say they're not going to watch them. But yeah, you know what they do? They watch them.
Binkley, there is no one I know on this planet. I mean that sincerely. There's no one on this planet I think watches more football overall than you. Are the refs good at their job?
No, the refs are horrible at their job. I mean, I can cite many things. I mean, do you remember the Indianapolis Colts game a couple years ago where Chris Jones gets a roughing the passer? There was a phantom call or some of the bad, horrible calls.
There was the one against like Ryan when he, like the Colts one. Is that the one where like he said something mean to him? Is that what it was?
Yeah. And they lost two games last year, not only Kadarius Toney, but they lost a couple games due to some bad officiating calls. And, you know, the stats would bear it out that even on first downs, on third and long, the Chiefs have been penalized more than any team in the NFL and not the other way around. But people don't want to hear that. Josh Allen's one of the biggest floppers. It was nice that Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football this morning admitted that. He said, hey, Josh Allen flops all the time and stuff like that. So they both do. They all do. Watch quarterbacks. Most quarterbacks will do a lot of the same things you saw from Mahomes.
Other than cheating, which the Patriots did, and I would say the Chiefs shouldn't do, why are we being mad at quarterbacks for trying to do anything to help their team win? If someone shoves you close to the sideline, you should put on a dog and pony show, especially if there's no rule against it stopping you from doing as much.
Well, it's what happens. I'm not a huge fan of them doing it, but I understand why they do it, because you want to keep your team's chances. Chiefs have a chance to do something no other team has done, and they do it. But, you know, I've seen plenty of times Mahomes has been hit out of bounds and hadn't been flagged. I think we've all seen him being hit, you know, late, but it did not draw a flag. And at some point, you're like, man, is he ever going to draw these flags? But he obviously got them this past week, but that's not always been the case.
We're talking to Jay Binkley here on 96.5 The Fan. As far as the actual game offensively, I don't know if we want to call it rust or whatever, but it wasn't always the smoothest operation. Ultimately, Travis Kelce went off and had a massive day, but only one wide receiver had a catch. My guess is there's no way that one that's going to happen on Sunday, but also if it does, then the Chiefs would be in big trouble.
No, it's interesting. I mean, you're right. They really didn't use the receivers. I think that DeAndre Hopkins was in with only 16 snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was weird.
31%. Hollywood Brown, 37% of the snaps. So you didn't have a catch between. You had one target for Hopkins. It was strange. You know, I wonder if he's 100%. But yeah, Xavier Worthy was really it was the only receiver to get a catch in this game. Maybe they decided not to do it. Maybe there's more to it than what we know. But I will say this, DeAndre Hopkins has the longest streak in the National Football League with catches per game, and Travis Kelce's number two. Now, thankfully, that's a regular season stat because that would have ended this weekend.
When you look at the game, was there any more singly impressive player than Travis Kelce? Like, you mentioned him. I mean, it's just kind of nuts. At his age, at his position, he's not supposed to be continue to do this, torturing defenses.
No, it's interesting, and you see him getting open. And I do think that's a byproduct sometimes of, you know, even when Hopkins and Brown, you know, were in there together, you do have to pay attention to them. And I think defenses do have to pay attention to them. And some of that, you know, did open up Travis Kelce, especially across the middle. For some reason, teams just decide not to guard Kelce, even though he's very good at just finding that opening, probably the best we've ever seen at finding that opening, especially when you get to the postseason. But I do think, Kevin, some of the other talent and some of that speed that these teams have to account for, you know, the Worthy, the Hollywood Brown, you throw in a DeAndre Hopkins there at times, and that's going to open up things for Travis Kelce. Like, that is the one thing that's really going to open things up for him is, if it's not Kelce, who's it going to be? Is it going to be then Worthy going off and having a game over 100 yards? Is it going to be Hopkins, you know, having one of his type of games? I mean, who knows, but they're set up so somebody can be the start. I remember a couple years ago, that first Super Bowl run the Chiefs went on, the first 6 weeks of the year, they had six different leading receivers. They then settled into Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce the rest of the way out, but you know, it's pick your poison the way that Andy Reid kind of likes to run this offense.
When you look at the running backs, I know over the last six games, Pacheco and Hunt actually have almost the identical yardage. Three touchdowns, though, for Hunt, none for Pacheco. I don't know if it's a health thing. I don't know if it's a vision thing. Watching this pass game as well, the first eight plays, like four touches were for Pacheco. I think Kareem Hunt should be getting the first crack at this thing Sunday night. I'm not so sure Andy Reid and the Chiefs are going to do that, though.
No, I 100% agree. I mean, it's frustrating to watch games and you realize the Kareem Hunt's the best option they have. You go back to that Cleveland game, you know, we're sitting there saying, you know, what are they doing? Like third and fourth and one. You know, I've heard of how much Isaiah Pacheco runs hard. And so many people talk, oh, he just runs so hard. Well, that's true, but he doesn't do it on third and one. And he doesn't do it on fourth and one. The Chiefs have a terrible time trying to pick up first downs when it's short yardage. To me, even though the numbers may look similar, Kareem Hunt has that knack, that veteran knack, to find that crease and get there and get that first down. To me, he is the better option for the Kansas City Chiefs at this point.
Binkley, before we get to the actual what's going to happen in the game tonight between Ohio State and Notre Dame, this is the only time I feel like, because I've got you on and it's a national championship game, so it's the last college game. Tell me one player on these two teams that's going to end up on the Chiefs next year, if you think so.
You know what? Well, definitely not Ohio State, unless Brett Veach went a different direction. But Brett Veach does not draft Ohio State players.
He has zero? Has he never drafted an Ohio State player?
I do not think so. I don't think there's ever been an Ohio State player drafted under Brett Veach in the Kansas City Chiefs. So that would be against, quote, that trend that they would do it. Although, I would like to see Jeremiah Smith in a couple of years.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that ain't going to happen.
Freshman. He's just true freshman now, but and as I've said, you know, weeks ago, I think he's better than Marvin Harrison Jr., to be honest with you. I think people are sleeping on this guy and think he's going to be better than him. It should be a good game tonight, though, fellas. I'm looking forward to it. Marcus Freeman, what he's doing. I'm shocked that Ryan Day's not getting the run that he should be getting.
Because he's an ass, Bink. People don't like him.
Well, they don't like him, but he just wins. Look at his track record. He just wins. Yes, he struggled against Michigan the last couple of years, but he does have a win against Michigan. So he has beaten them and a chance to, and he's got the best team in the country this year. It is interesting because he's got two stints as an NFL assistant, as assistant coach. He's been a quarterback coach in the National Football League with two different teams. So he has that pedigree and experience. It's just shocking that you hear all the other names from college football mentioned, but you don't hear Ryan Day, and he has that NFL pedigree. And you know what? Why would he want to move? There's so much pressure at Ohio State. Why not go off to the NFL? But shocked we haven't heard Ryan Day more than what we have.
I think they were ready to fire him like a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, legitimately like a month ago, Ohio State fans were ready to, like, drag him out of the building.
But that's more of a fan
kicking
thing.
Kicking and screaming.
But that's still more of a fan thing.
That's true. And I remember Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler kind of defending him on the broadcast and Ryan Day and, you know, the rest of the ESPN, you know, the hot take shows that they have were ready to fire him, ready to move him out. But you haven't heard that, though. And it was trending. Like, fire Ryan Day was trending after that Michigan, but it's gone quiet. But if you Google Ryan Day should be fired, it was a major trending thing on social media. But all of a sudden, with the chance of a national title tonight, those have completely silenced.
You think this game's close? Like, Notre Dame is obviously a heavy underdog, 8.5, 9.5 points, wherever it last landed. I think last I saw, Notre Dame was maybe like plus 300 on the money line in order to do it. What do you think Notre Dame can keep this game closer than it looks like the Vegas thinks it'll be?
I do. I think this is going to be a Chiefs-type game that they've been winning this season. I think it's going to be a close game. Both these defenses are tremendous. And I do like Riley Leonard, even though sometimes he doesn't enamor you with his throwing stats, but on the ground, being the dual threat quarterback that he is, can pick up those first downs from Notre Dame. But both these defenses, exceptional, so I do expect it to be closer. But I do expect Ohio State to win it. They're just too good. Will Howard, he's been incredible in the postseason. He's thrown for 300 yards two of the last three times, and last time was only 289 yards that he threw. But he's making the right decisions, and I love that backfield that they got. And this is a tight-knit group, because like Jack Sawyer, the defensive end that picked up that scoop and score fumble last week, he was one of those guys. He had a chance to go to the NFL last year. I thought maybe he had a third-round type selection had he gone last year. But he, along with a lot of other players, they got in this group chat in the offseason, and the biggest impetus was, let's return. We got an unfinished business to do. Let's try to bring everybody back, and clearly they didn't bring back Marvin Harrison Jr., but there was a lot of players that did come back because of Jack Sawyer to kind of complete this mission. So, you know, hats off to him.
So who's winning next year's national title game? You know, when you see him go, get out of the curve, Bank. Who's winning next year, you know?
Well, you know what? You know, what's weird is I saw way too early top 25 by some
way too early.
Kansas State and Missouri. You rarely seen that, but they had Ohio State still up there at the top, and they had Texas.
Yeah, those are the two favorites three. For next year.
Hey, Missouri's going to be interesting because that Penn State backup quarterback, they got a lot of playing time, and a reason they beat Wisconsin this year, Bo Pribula. Pribula transferred to Missouri, a great dual threat quarterback, but he transferred to Missouri. They're going to get Sam Horn back, and they got Zollers coming in as well. So Missouri is loaded at the quarterback position. It's going to be fun to watch.
They couldn't even get to the college football playoff this year.
You know what, Cody? Last year they would have. I know that's, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, but, you know.
Well, their schedule was pretty soft this year. That's all. I feel like you only get occasional off years in the SEC, Bink.
No, this was the year to do it. Kansas has done well in the transfer portal as well. K-State's banking and hoping Avery Johnson could do some good things for Kansas State. But this was going to be the year. Watch it be next year because everybody's expecting. It's like the Minnesota Twins. You expect them to be good, then they're bad. Or you expect them to be bad, then they're good. That's kind of what the Big 12 is going to be with KU and K-State. I think both of them will be back next year.
Lastly for you, do you think Deion Sanders ends up in the NFL this year?
Maybe. I don't want to see it. I think he's fun at college, and he's got one of the top quarterback recruits, five-star kid coming to Colorado in the offseason. He's done a good job recruiting. I don't think he'll end up in the National Football League. I hope he stays at Colorado. Certainly there's an opportunity to change. You never know what Jerry Jones is going to do. Jerry Jones can do what Jerry Jones wants to do, but I hope he stays at Colorado. But yeah, I'd say there's probably a 30%, 35% chance he goes to the NFL.
All right, Bank, well, make sure you get the beer dropped off and deliver for the game tonight.
You know what? The delivery came about an hour ago.
Nice.
Oh, good to go.
And you know what? We have Championship Drive on now. We've got College Football Game Day for the last time coming on.
Let's go, Bink.
That's what I just said. Nobody watches more football than Binkley.
Hey, I'm ready. We get the McAfee sideline pass on ESPN2. We've got the ESPN Skycast on ESPNU. God. And we've got two radio calls if you get on ESPN online. So I'm set, fellas.
All right, man. Good to hear from you. That's Jay Binkley. He'll be gearing up. Sounds like already geared up. For the national title game tonight.
I didn't dig specifically into it. You mentioned the Deion and the Cowboys thing. Did I correctly see briefly earlier that Brian Schottenheimer is the favorite to be the Cowboys head coach? Staff last year for the Cowboys?
Updated odds have Brian Schottenheimer as like a -230 favorite. At one point, I want to remind you, though, at one point, Deion was the favorite. So this is something that's very volatile and everything like that. So it doesn't, you know, I wouldn't.
Anyone from Deion to Brian Schottenheimer?
Was he on their staff last year? Or is he just like on the street somewhere? I don't know what Brian Schottenheimer does.
I'm not sure where he's at. But I would say that it was unlikely Deion was getting the job anyway. But
that'd be a pretty uninspired hire.
There were a lot more random head coach interviews, like Eddie George. Who's a coach?
Well, he interviewed with the Bears.
Tennessee State interviewed with the Bears. Like they're going deep into the
DraftKings for the odds for the next Cowboys coach. They've been on and off. Currently, Brian Schottenheimer -250. Kellen Moore is +250. The initial favorite was Deion. He's now 7.5-1 with six other coaches in front of him.
You know, Brian Schottenheimer should be your guy. Apparently, he played at the University of Kansas.
Yeah, well, obviously, there's a Schottenheimer connection.
He didn't sound too thrilled, Cody, by you saying that.
What? I was just pointing out that he's this guy.
No, I'm saying Gold didn't sound thrilled at all. Like, hey, he's a Kansas guy.
I mean, when's the last time you saw a guy who was literally just like a career OC? From 2006 to 2024, he has just been an offensive coordinator for 14 consecutive. That's got the most interim coach stink to it of all time. It feels like Jerry just wants to hire him so he can fire him in a year. He wants to put off the coaching process for 1 year, so he's going to hire Broughton. We've seen other organizations do this, and I always think it's a bad idea. This happened with the Texans. Are you just going to hire him just to keep him for a year, just to fire his ass?
It's like a gap year is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I think this goes back to
Europe, to backpack.
It goes back to when we were discussing last week. Some of the Dallas reporters who are on the beat down there, they were discussing Jerry Jones, of course, wants credit for everything. And they're like, he wants an experienced coach, but he also doesn't want someone to overshadow him, which is a terrible philosophy to have as an owner. You're never going to get the right hire. But Brian Schottenheimer would fit that. Experienced coach, but people will give you credit if it works out, not Brian Schottenheimer. If you hire Dion's getting all the credit. And so it's a terrible way to go about it, but that makes sense. If Brian Schottenheimer's the guy, he can be like, well, I gave him his first opportunity to be a head coach. And so if they have success, Jerry Jones wants credit.
That's a wild way to work.
How many owners?
It's a really bad way to work.
In sports in general. How many owners are out there while also having success? I can only think of Pat Riley, who's barely even out there, honestly, anyways.
Mark Cuban, maybe. But like that's it. Yeah. Typically, I want my owner to hire the smart football people.
Doesn't work in football at all.
And that's it. I don't want my owner deciding who I should draft. No. Nope. I have football people that can do that. And the problem is the whole Jones family is involved in free agency and drafting and everything. And that's why they haven't been relevant in a very long time.
Yeah, they're one of the worst run franchises in the league. They're just better at hiding it because they still make the playoffs even though
they're
dysfunctional.
And their owner says amazing things that are entertaining and provide content, and so everybody talks about them.
And did a hell of an acting job in Landman.
He did. I still haven't watched that. I need to.
No, but that one scene was pretty strong.
Yeah.
It's good effort by Jerry, you know?
That's the trick. That's the trick. I watched that way too many times, that clip. I have it memorized. It's bad.
Why did you watch it so many times?
We were rolling
times?
It in a couple times. I have some of his monologue memorized. It's bad.
Why do you have it memorized?
Yeah, because John Hamm's sitting in the hospital bed and Jerry Jones is talking about the oil and gas. He's like, I'm proud of them Cowboys. And then he's like,
you really have watched it a couple times.
Talks about his family and he's like, that's the trick.
I'm an idiot.
Well, that's not from
that's
the movie.
A different one.
That's a different Jerry cut. That's not from the TV show. But anyway,
I do like that clip.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending and a little audio fun bag from the weekend.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Of course, top on the list, Chiefs headed to their seventh straight AFC title game. Sunday night, right here on 96.5 The Fan against the Buffalo Bills. The earlier game will be the NFC title game, Commanders. Eagles, just like everybody thought months ago. Commanders, Eagles.
There's not
Eagles.
A soul outside of Washington.
No,
even most of them. I'm saying there's probably like one Washington fan who was convinced, right? Like, I'm sure there's one person who had the Commanders in the NFC title game, but it's less than 10 people on this planet, and those people were lying to themselves. So, they managed to do it. But yeah, Commanders, Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, that's two pretty heavyweight. I'd say both feel like divisional matchups. One actually is. But at this point, the Chiefs and Bills have played each other so damn much, Gold. They should add them to division week. You know when Andy does that in the and we have to talk about it during training camp every year where they do the one whole week where they just dedicate to the other three teams in the division? Just go ahead and add the Bills to that. You think that makes sense? Just go toss them into the other three games and then get it matched up. Next up on what's trending, national championship game tonight, Ohio State and Notre Dame. Notre Dame, a pretty sizable underdog for a national championship game, not by college football standards. More than a touchdown underdog in the game tonight against Ohio State. Most people feel like you just got to figure out a way to stop Riley Leonard, and you'll be in good shape. Former Kansas State quarterback Will Howard will be the starting quarterback, of course, for Ohio State for a chance at a national championship game tonight.
How about that? You leave K-State, you get paid a ton of money to go do it, and now you might win a national title. That's
over under,
pretty cool.
This game starts at 6:30 tonight, according to the TV broadcast. Over under 10:30. 10:30 in time.
Under.
I'll take the over.
That would be
I might take the over at 11 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you want to make that bet?
On 11 o'clock? Yeah.
I will also bet you.
I don't even know how to make that bet.
No.
I will also bet you on under 11 o'clock.
Here. You think the game's going to end after 11:01?
I do. Let's make give me some odds?
What do you want?
I don't know. Just 2-1. It don't have to be heavy odds. We can just do it for $10. We can keep it light and friendly.
Yeah. You good, Drew? You want to get on this?
10:59 How do we do it?
Any 11 when the clock
10:59 and a half
The game will be over before the clock hits 11.
Yes.
Okay.
And you think it's gonna be 11 o'clock?
I think it's 11 o'clock. I'm in.
No.
I'm in.
Now, will the coverage be on and stuff?
That's not what coverage.
It's about zero on the clock. Like zero on the clock.
Overtime applies and all that. So if I get overtime, I get lucky.
If you get overtime, then it gets interesting. Then it gets it becomes a sweat.
If we get to overtime, we might be in trouble.
Yeah, I'll take that bet.
I will as well.
Oh, I got to. Oh, okay. So I'm in for.
Well, how?
It doesn't matter. I'm in for 20 total. You guys are in for
10 apiece.
Technically, you're in for 20 if you lose, but you're not really in for.
We're good. That's
because $10. You have to pay me 20 if I win. I could win 40.
I mean, I'll just. Okay, that's fine. I'll say that works for me.
Okay.
Next up on What's Trending, the Blue Jays have signed outfielder Anthony Santander, reportedly a 5-year deal for $90 million. That's according to John Morosi. He was an interesting name we were keeping an eye on.
A little steep.
In terms of, I think he'd be a great fit here, but not at 5 for $90. That wasn't ever happening.
I'd be curious to ask JJ Piccolo as we maybe get through the Chiefs season eventually. We'll be happy to talk some Royals baseball, a team coming off the playoffs last year. But that's even higher than I would have been comfortable going, although I'd pay anything because it's just money. But it's just money in baseball. Have anybody seen the Dodgers? Mike, it's just money. You can just spend as much of it as you want. Turns out, Dodgers have been proving that over and over and over again. Next up on What's Trending, local college hoops over the weekend. Kansas beat K-State 84-74. Missouri wins 83-65 over Arkansas, who's currently winless in the SEC under John Calipari. The AP Top 25 came out this week, by the way, or earlier today. MU ranked 22nd, KU ranked 12th.
There you go.
So MU back in the rankings.
They're in the rankings. Carrington was very happy. He came storming in the studio.
Is that what he was talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, came in very happy.
He came in just be like, it feels, the Chiefs are in their seventh consecutive AFC title game. And the first thing Carrington Harrison said to us today, he walked in the door and he said, it feels good to wake up and cheer for the 22nd ranked team in America. And you're like, okay. I mean, it's fine, but like, there's way bigger. Yes.
It's weird.
That's exactly what he said.
It's January 20th. It's a poll. And also, like, it'd be one thing if you came in and you're ranked number one in the country. 22nd.
Top five, whatever. 22nd.
And this is not even an KU versus MU thing. You guys know I've been on the record for years. I could give a bleep about any ranking. Whether when KU was preseason number one, I said the same thing there. There's audio proof. This is not an MU hate thing. I think rankings are a waste of time. A giant waste of time.
Turns out Kansas being ranked number one preseason did not, in fact, make them
I've said this
title favorite in basketball this
year. With college football, with college basketball, the rankings don't mean a darn thing.
And you know who would have been ranked first in the NFL? The Detroit Lions. And where are they at right now?
Going into the postseason, people had them as the power rankings. The Chiefs were not number one for a lot of people.
No, they might have been number one in the AFC.
There were some people who were kind of making fun of the Vikings, or Dan Campbell specifically, because he said to Kevin O'Connell, I'll see you in 2 weeks, and they are going to see each other in 2 weeks in Cancun. That's the Pro Bowl weekend.
They're going to see each other in Orlando. Where are the Pro Bowl games at this year?
I think it's Orlando. Oh, is it Vegas?
I don't know.
We don't pay attention to those around here, so I'm
not sure.
What's
a Pro Bowl? And how do you?
I don't know what
how
these
does your team play
Pro
in
Bowl,
those?
It is Orlando. I don't know what these Pro Bowl games are. The Chiefs really haven't played in them since they became the games instead of the Pro Bowl game, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coached by Peyton and Eli.
Oh, is that? This is not even like, I truly have no clue how this thing works anymore.
All I know is that this is just a commercial-based thing. Peyton and Eli are like the coaches of teams.
Yes.
And they play games.
Flag football.
And if you said, is it just flag football?
Well, they play flag football.
And there's
it's
other
like
things,
the culmination.
You know?
They have like.
What are they playing? Water balloon fighting? No, what is going on here?
I think they do tug of war. There's a tug of war.
I don't know, man. I don't remember.
I think they have like a quarterback accuracy little drill or whatever. Dodgeball is another one.
Every year the ratings come out and there's like 18 million people who watch them. And I've never actually met any of those 18 million people. So I'm not totally sure.
Drew will watch because his guy will be there.
I've watched like individual things. And I like the first year they did the flag football thing. I checked it out a little bit. I thought it was fun. It was whatever. But I am by no means binge watching the Pro Bowl at all. I'll check in maybe here and there. Yeah, to see, I might see my guy Jamar Chase participate in the best catch
there
or whatever.
There it is.
For things like refereeing and a million other things in this world, social media is the scourge of society, and it's genuinely an awful place most of the time. But for things like this, it's perfect. For the two cool things that happen on Pro Bowl weekend, I can just see a clip of it.
You're right.
I don't need to watch 100%. It. Dude, for the two cool things that happen, I don't care if Joe Burrow does a back handspring and then throws a pass.
Hopefully not with
that wrist. In the middle of an if that happens on Pro Bowl weekend, if Tyreek Hill jumps over like four guys in order to score a touchdown in a flag football game, and we laugh at that idiot who said that NFL players wouldn't make it in flag football in the Olympics, cool. Cool. I'll just watch it on social.
I forgot about
that's
that.
That's it. I'll just catch the two social things. That's fine.
Yeah, you don't need to watch it.
It's going to be an Olympic sport soon, dude. It matters more now. It's flag football thing. It's like a preview.
Yeah, sure. All right, let's get to the audio fun bag from the weekend. We start with John Gruden. Drew and I had mentioned to you a couple weeks ago that like he started working for Barstool, and that's fine if that's not content people want to consume or whatever. But like, I think it's been really interesting.
I haven't really caught
some of the stories that Gruden has said, and some of them have related to the Chiefs. He told a story while they were watching the Chiefs game over the weekend about the old Gruden driving the bus around the stadium.
Remember, you and I tried to drive around
Kansas Speedway. It happened to be really rainy that day, so we had to spray champagne in the parking lot with my sunroof open. Uh-huh. And Serta, at the time, was our producer. My car smelled like champagne for a week or so because it obviously
did not all stay on the outside of the car.
Anyway, this was Gruden telling the story about that whole thing, and I hope this is bleeped, Drew. Is it bleeped before?
So do I. I believe it is. No, I believe it is.
Okay.
Dump button
is ready then. Oh, boy.
Hey, we beat the Chiefs the COVID year. You guys remember that year where there was just a few fans?
Yeah, you took the bus around the building, right?
So we won the game like 40 to 32. I get on the bus, and the bus driver turns around. He goes, "How's it feel to finally win a big game?"
I swear. I said, "Why don't you drive this bus around Arrowhead Stadium until I tell you to go to the airport?" So he called the radio station. He told us to drive around. The Chiefs found out about it. So, you know, we played them the next time in Vegas, and they were beating us at the end of the game, and a couple of their players were like, "Hey, man, we're going to drive the bus around your stadium." You know?
When you win a game, we used to ask the pilot if he could just veer off and take an extra 15 or 20 minutes so you can enjoy the win. You know what I mean? As soon as the plane lands, you're back into the next game. You know what I mean?
I am not totally sure why his impression of a Chiefs player sounds like Speedy Gonzalez in like a standoff. I'm not sure why that was the impression he went with, but honestly, it's pretty funny. The bus driver landed a zing. Mm-hmm. It pissed him off. So he told him to take some laps, and then it burned them real bad. Now, in fairness, when you said, "How does it feel to finally win a big game?" John Gruden at that point had won a Super Bowl. So, like, it's a little funny to be like, "How does it feel to finally win a big game?"
It's true that bus driver called in, I think it was the morning show, I think, at the time. It was
can't remember, but I think
Fesco in the morning at the time. And yes, that's an all-timer as well. The plane, do you think the plane story is real, or is he just joking? Because he's going to be like, we don't want to get home to our families at 3 a.m. We'd rather you just take another 25 minutes in the air to land.
Soak this up. I don't know, man. He made a bus driver do a lap just because he pissed him off for two seconds. I can't totally rule it out.
Based off of a conversation with people that have been on those team charters, man, they're not, man, basically unlimited, sounds like, you know, candy bar, and there's, you know, sandwiches ready the minute you walk on the flight, and then there's a whole meal that you can get on the flight. It sounds like a pretty incredible charter flight.
I know we've done a lot of fun calls over the years, but for the next one, the audio fun bag gold to dial up, I think let's get the call of Travis Kelce scoring the touchdown, but can we do the Korean call instead? Let's have a little fun in audio fun bag. We've certainly heard Mitch Holtis call Travis Kelce's remarkable touchdown catch on the throw that was amazing from Patrick Mahomes. Let's hear the Korean version of that.
자, 모처럼 마홈스가 한번 길게 휴스턴 텍산스를 좀 뒤로 밀어냈습니다. 뒤쪽에서 블레치가 한 명 들어오는데 한 가운데가 휑하니 열려 있습니다. 트래비스 켈시 더 가요 20야드 5야드까지 트래비스 켈시. 역시나 이곳 에로헤드 스타디움은 트래비스 켈시의 안방입니다.
Every call in a different language sounds great.
I don't care
what language the call's in. They all sound great. We usually don't get these till the Super Bowl and stuff. You know?
But like credit to like June over there on Twitter. Yeah. He's always posting. He lives in, he's Korean. Sure. So he's constantly posting the Korean calls, and they are fun. Fun. One other thing I liked, and we can do a couple of these. One other thing I liked in pregame, and I had sent it to you, Gold. You were at the stadium, so you wouldn't have seen this.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins was talking on the field before the game.
I should have got a photo with him.
With Kirk Cousins? Yeah, you probably should
have got a photo with Kirk Cousins.
Did you see him?
I did not see him. I should have.
He was on the field before the game, and he was talking about Patrick Mahomes' game. And I think he gave What is not, he wasn't doing it just to be funny. He was doing it because he's affable. But this is a brutally honest moment of when you watch Patrick Mahomes play. This is what he said the difference between the two of them is.
There's times where I watch Pat play, and it's hard to believe we play the same position. I look at my seven-year-old son, Cooper, and I'll say, I feel like he's playing a different sport. It's like he knows the future. He knows that D-end is going to be there, and he spins out of it. The field vision, the ease with which he plays, the game looks slow to him. In big moments, he plays it kind of like your brother, plays it like he's in the schoolyard. I think they practice that way, and it shows in the way they play when the lights come on. But he's protected the football these last six games, hasn't turned it over.
It is kind of amazing. It's like, we play the same sport, and sometimes I'm watching him play, and I'm like, I'm not so sure we're playing the same game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Kirk Cousins did not have a great year. I would say, sounds like he's also got because I saw other clips. Sounds like he's got a future in broadcasting, at least from that role on set. I think he'd be really good at that.
Good,
yeah, I thought he was really good in some of the clips people
were putting
out.
The at the table with Jason Kelce.
Yeah, I'm not saying like calling games, but
I think he's good at calling games too. It's hard to say.
But I think
Alex Smith's great at it.
On the or just the set, where many, many years ago Hasselbeck did it. Like, there's no reason Kirk Cousins couldn't do it. Now he wants to play next year. I'm not saying he's retiring, but eventually I think he'll have opportunities to do that. Really smart guy and obviously well spoken as well.
So, I think the entire league's got to be feeling the way he feels. It's like, I'm sorry, is he just doing a different thing than the rest of us? It's like, I think they practice that way. Remember, Kirk Cousins famous for taking one day off a week, he says.
Yeah.
Personal time. Yeah. Kirk Cousins doesn't work on Wednesdays or whatever. I don't remember what day of the week it was. We learned that in Mahomes' Quarterback, the Netflix series.
That's right. That's when the Kohl's cash doesn't expire. Make sure he goes there on that day. Also, Leo Chanel, I just want to play the audio of the call. Just another freaking block field goal. I mean, this guy, when he was drafted, I remember we just had Bink on hyping up all the athletic score and all this kind of stuff that he had, and we've seen it. It's really shown itself in the NFL.
Tommy Townsend holds it. Fairbairn.
Blocked! It's blocked! The Chiefs blocked the field goal! Picked up on the near sideline and hopping out of bounds with the football is Jaden Hicks.
Tommy Townsend, the former Chief, was on the hold.
You might remember Tommy Townsend's former punter here, Dustin Kolko, was once very critical of Tommy Townsend's holding ability. We're big Tommy Townsend supporters
that
here.
That had nothing to do with the bad hold. That was just another great opportunity the Chiefs took advantage of. It wasn't Justin Reed this time. It was Chanel.
Chanel is an incredible athlete. Like, he is truly a special level athlete. He plays like 50% of the snaps. And like, for a guy who only plays like 50% of the snaps, I feel like you notice him like 40% of the time. It's crazy. And always in the plays like this, he's always just like doing something kind of remarkable.
And the last bit of audio, I said that was the last one. I lied.
Oh, okay. One more.
It's a Texans player.
Oh God.
That if I didn't tell you who it was, you might say, man, that guy must've played for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Everybody know how it is playing up here. You can never leave it into the ref's hands, but I mean, the whole world see, man, like what it is, bro, but it is what it is. You know, like I said, when it come down to it, you can never leave it into the ref's hands, man, and things like that, but it's all good, though.
Like a former Cincinnati Bengals. It's going to be really funny when he takes his buddy, your guy, in Cincinnati, and T. Higgins goes signs with the Texans this offseason. Then you'll really love him.
I'm always going to like Joe Mixon.
Really, dude? He was crying like a baby there. Well, the entire team came in ready to blame the refs. It's nuts.
He's one of the best Bengals players in history, so I feel like as a Bengals fan,
I just got to be honest, man. That is a sad sentence.
Worst tweet of the
Joe
weekend.
Joe Mixon being one of the best players in your team franchise history. That's sad.
One of the best running backs. Did you see?
You said players. I felt sad for a minute.
Did you see what Vontaze Burfict tweeted as well?
I did.
Yesterday.
Was he defending the refs?
Oh, no.
Was it a coherent tweet?
No, it was. He said, somebody sign me up so I can not basically take care of Patrick Mahomes for everybody, please. Yeah, he essentially said that.
Yeah.
That guy sucks. That is out of pocket.
That guy does suck.
Way out of pocket.
Yeah, he's not a great person, frankly. So
that was really bad.
I threatened to fight him too. But I'm going to wait till he's Romanowski's age.
No way. There's no way.
I said I'd wait till he's Roman. I want him to be a senior.
And so would Romanowski. Romanowski, as we said, is a little caught up with some legal matters. Otherwise, you might have your opportunity. Vontaze Burfict, crazy. I guess Romanowski was too. But like,
that was a crazy for him to send that. For him to actually send that tweet out. He didn't even play against Patrick Mahomes. He's never played against Patrick Mahomes before, I don't think. What made him send that?
I don't know.
Because, as we said earlier, whether it's former players, prominent media members, people legit have this Chiefs derangement syndrome. They can't stand them. And that's where you're at, man. That's where you're at. And it's not changing anytime soon.
Text line is correct. I said one of the best players. Yes, Icky Woods is a better player than Corey Dillon, is a better Bengal than Joe Mixon. I'm just saying he's in that echelon of names that you bring up that you remember because he played there a long time.
There you go.
Doesn't typically happen, you know, at the Bengals, obviously. Or do they have very much success, as you know?
Gotcha.
Joe Mixon just, I mean, I actually truly blame D'Amico Ryans. You cannot.
It did start
you
at the top.
Clearly, they sat in meeting rooms and been like, hey, we're going to have to win in spite of the refs. You know what you should have done instead? Study like third down packages or something. Figure out how to not have your
tight. Cover Travis Kelce. Goodness.
You know what? You could have studied five. Instead of complaining about the refs in whatever meeting you had, you could have spent 5 more minutes figuring out how to get your tight end not to block George Karloftis and instead get an actual offensive lineman in the game. You know?
His effort, too, in blocking. There was one particular one that they showed. Dalton Schultz did not care to block George Karloftis. Or it was Chris Jones or whatever. He was chipping somebody, and he just kind of he brushed him off.
You could have spent that time. You could have just, hell, it'd have been a better 5 minutes spent praying to the gods above that you got past Kansas City than spending the time in that meeting saying we're gonna have to also beat the refs.
Yeah, ugh. People on the text line are saying that you might have got by a parody account. I don't know if that's true.
Look, I'm glad that it's a parody account because that was some.
People
are
saying that wasn't real, Drew. I don't know.
That was some. That was really
not
bad.
Sure. I hadn't seen that, so I didn't want to.
Look,
I couldn't say one way or the other.
The reaction to it, though, is maybe that's something Vontaze Burfict actually might say.
I mean, yeah, I can't.
I'm glad that it's not him. If it's not him, I'm glad that it's that.
The best
that it
parody accounts are the ones who say something that actually seems semi believable. You're like, I can't rule out that this is made up because you have said things like this before.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem crazy. Man, what a weekend, you know? Just Chiefs in another AFC title game. No big deal, Gold. You know, I've been doing this show since January of 2020. It is now January of 2025. And in those 5 years, you and I have watched the Chiefs go to the AFC title game, 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 and go to 3 Super Bowls and win back-to-back. Pretty good. Not bad. Or go to 4 Super Bowls, sorry. Yeah. Win 3. And win back-to-back and with a chance in the final 4 teams of winning 3 in a row.
Just honestly, a ridiculous time to be...
I mean, it'll never get better than this.
No, this is...
You'll have to accept that, but...
This is as good as it gets, man. It's as good as it gets. We got a long week ahead. It's probably going to drag on later on this week, I'll be honest. Usually that's how these AFC title game weeks get. We get to Wednesday or Thursday, and we're like, all right, let's just get to the freaking game. That's how we'll be, I'm sure, in a couple days. But tomorrow, Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider, is going to join us. Nate Taylor expected to join us as well. We got a lot more to talk about, some things that happen in-game, right? We didn't get to Xavier Worthy's performance. We didn't have a chance to talk about Charles Omenihu. We've got a lot to address still tomorrow on the show. For now, though, we're going to hand things off to CDOT and Rob on the drive.